We pray. Merciful Lord, stir our hearts by the power of your word. Come and comfort us with the light of your grace and goodness. In this Easter joy, dear Lord, draw us ever closer to you, deeper into your word, that we might be blessed for time and for all eternity. To your praise and thanks we pray. Amen. Have you noticed that our presidential election has gotten a little crazy these days? And there's 6 more months to go. The verbal blows are coming fast and furious these days. I find it interesting to watch the reporters, the interviewers, those who quiz the candidates. I'm always looking to see when they are hunting for a gotcha question. A question where they trap the candidate. So no matter what the candidate really says, it's going to get them in trouble. Have you noticed any of that? Well, verbal traps are nothing new. Jesus had a minefield of them to maneuver through day after day. Time and again, his enemies would try to set him up, catch him in what he said so that they could cause him trouble. The Apostle John takes us to a certain event at the Feast of Dedication. It was in winter, the winter of the year, about 3 months or so before he would lay down his life for his sheep. The Jews who had went up to the temple to dedicate their lives to God were also in the temple attacking the Son of God. The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly," otherwise Messiah. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Supposedly, these Jews were in all kinds of suspense. Ooh, they wanted to hear it from Jesus' mouth himself. Are you this Messiah, the Son of the living God? The fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies? Tell us if you will. Did you see the trap? If he says yes, then they'll accuse him of blasphemy. And if he says no, then they'll ask, well, why are these disciples following you everywhere you go? Jesus wasn't intimidated by the crowd or by their trap or by any danger they thought they could bring upon him. He said, the problem isn't that I haven't answered that. I have. The problem is you have no faith. Wow, what an indictment by our Lord. He said, I have answered that question. I have declared, and my miracles testify to how I am the Lord of glory, the Son of God, the one and only Messiah. But you refuse to believe. So he answered their question once again. He told them, I and the Father are one. You can't get much more straightforward than that. And what was the reaction of these Jews when they heard his proclamation? The next verse tells us the Jews picked up stones to stone him, accusing him of blasphemy. I think it's safe to say this conversation didn't go so well. What I find interesting in the conversation, however, is that Jesus directed the attention over to the disciples and spent a great deal of time there. He was establishing that he was a shepherd, the good shepherd, and here are my sheep. And as the Messiah come down from heaven, he spelled out, laid out for them what he had come to do for them and all of his sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Jesus' followers will never perish, not in the fires of hell. They are rather protected, preserved forever in paradise in heaven. They stand safely in their Savior's hand and in the Heavenly Father's hand, and no one can take that away from his followers. Nothing in all creation is able to separate his sheep from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I wonder whether Jesus was going to great depths and lengths here just so that the unbelievers might develop a hunger and a thirst for what his disciples had. Oh, that we might have some of that. But reality is, Jesus is invisible these days anymore for his enemies to corner and attack and try and trap with their words. And the disciples that were with Jesus, well, they've left this great tribulation, the trouble and heartache and misery and suffering in this world. They're before the throne of God and waving palm branches in Easter victory. All is well with them. But we're not through the great tribulation yet. There are still many hardships in this world. And so Jesus' enemies are on the attack for you and me, modern day sheep of his pasture. They can't stand us because we have the smell of Jesus on us. Paul tells the Corinthians, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life." Never underestimate how much you affect the people around you. Our life in Christ reveals the death they have in their souls, the souls of the unbeliever. The forgiveness that we have in Christ highlights the guilt that they cannot remove from their souls. The hope and peace that we have in Christ makes their soul cry out in despair. The confidence we have of heaven makes real their future in hell. And they do not like that. So the unbelieving world is out to attack us like wild dogs. They want to trap us and tear us and tempt us and torture us. Through all the mockery and the misery and the loss, we may feel more like waving a white flag rather than a palm branch. And you know, our worst enemy is that sinner inside of each and every one of us. Oh, how it mocks and ridicules us. That sinful nature inside of us says, "You don't want to be one of his followers, do you? How about just an observer from a distance? Impartial, laissez-faire. You don't really want to go to Bible study and learn more about this Jesus fellow, do you? After all, he might mess with you. He might want to change you in some way." Our sinful nature tries to encourage us, "Oh, there are so many evil pleasures to indulge in. You really ought to give yourself that pleasure. You don't want to be one of those lowly, needy, dependent, weak sheep, do you?" Our sinful selves say, "Let us hear you roar. I did it my way." How tragic. If we follow that voice of our sinful nature, we will find ourselves in the belly of hell screaming out, "I did it my way." We may feel like tired, vulnerable, defenseless sheep. Our enemies are overwhelming. They're too strong for us. How can we stand? But in the middle of our trouble and heartache and tribulation, a voice calls out. While everything is pressing and crushing down on us inwardly and outwardly, a voice rises above the noise. It is neither shouting nor fearful, but confident and assuring. You know who this voice is. It's the voice of our Good Shepherd speaking to us. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, how his words give us life and hope and peace. Jesus goes on to say, you are forgiven for all your wandering and kicking against me and denying me as your shepherd. You are forgiven. That's exactly why he died on Good Friday and rose on Easter Sunday. He promises, I will work for the good in all things for the good of those who love me. I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I will come and take you to be with me. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do we hear? Do we listen? As we build ourselves up in this Easter victory, so we're also equipping ourselves to share this Easter victory with everyone else, even those enemies who would like to destroy us. Jesus calls us to share the victory by following the Good Shepherd. To give a holy hunger to those who want to harm us, a holy hunger for what Christ has given us. Just like a trailer follows wherever the truck pulls it, and a passenger car follows wherever the train engine leads it, and as a lamb follows the voice of its shepherd, so we follow the Savior. Because he is our Savior, our Good Shepherd, our Good Shepherd who calls out for us. And in following him, we're sharing with the world this Easter victory and joy, who we are in our Lord and what he's done for us, what he's won for us on the cross. The eternal life he has given us and the life of love and forgiveness and moves us to listen ever more intently and to follow ever more consistently the voice of our Good Shepherd. He speaks faith into our hearts so that we trust him more deeply and obey him more completely, ever growing. Our Good Shepherd gives us a holy hunger to learn more and to be filled more by the light of his salvation, by the power of his holy word. The world will not ask us, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are a Christian, tell us plainly. No, they will know by the palm branches of victory that we are waving in our lives. They will know by the eternal hope that springs anew because we are the children of God. They will know we are the shepherd, the sheep of the Good Shepherd, as we live lives of devotion. Not devotion to ourselves, but devoted to our Good Shepherd, our Savior, the King. The crazy presidential elections speak volumes to how broken and evil this world truly is. But do you realize the darker the days, the more opportunity we have to witness to our risen Lord? The brighter his light shines, the Savior's victory. Let's follow the Good Shepherd by listening to and living out his word. And what a joy it will be as more and more join us in this procession, this parade that leads to our heavenly throne. Paul told the Corinthians, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. May that be fulfilled in our hearts and lives. Amen. Please rise. We pray, merciful Lord, use us, our time and our abilities, that we might bring you praise and glory. Fill us to overflowing with this Easter joy, the truth of your holy word, that we might beam forth your light into the darkness of this world, that all the world might see the light that we walk by and the grace given us in Christ Jesus. Use us and fill us to overflowing to the glory of your holy name. Amen.